Our five prisoners are anti-terrorist heroes. Five Cuban state security agents were arrested in Miami, Florida, in 1998. They were accused of espionage, and they were sentenced to long terms in prison. To understand their cases, we have to do some history. Immediately after the military victory of the 26th of July revolutionary movement, led by Fidel Castro, against the United States puppet dictatorship of Fulgencio Batista and a few Cuban families associated with some U.S. corporations who controlled all the economic resources in Cuba, the new government started to nationalize and socialize those resources. The agrarian reform and a comprehensive literacy campaign took place almost right after that, January 1959. Eisenhower's administration soon realized that Castro's politics were not a social reform, but a true social revolution. Jean Guillard, a Canadian journalist who works as a columnist for Granma International newspaper, tells us who the five Cubans are.
Well, the five were, to say things clearly, were five Cuban anti-terrorism agents infiltrated in groups, in Miami groups, who did in the past terrorist actions against Cuba. As it was often said here, it's the only way for the Cuban, for Cuba to fight the possibility of being the victim of terrorist attacks. The best way is to send people in Miami and infiltrate those groups and just send back the information here to be able to prevent any plan that those people have. You know that there are several groups in Miami, in Florida, who have a long history of terrorist actions against Cuba and who have today offices on Flagler Street. Both the two biggest groups of terrorists in Miami have offices on Flagler Street in right in downtown Miami. One is Alpha 66, a group that exists since 40 years. That is, as you can find all this on the internet anyway. Alpha 66 as a 40-year story of terrorism, beginning with the existence in Miami of the CIA station J.M. Waite, that organized several of those groups under the plan that they had at the time of what they would call autonomous operation. You would create a terrorist group and just finance it, give it all the means to and the training to do terrorist actions, and just send them to play in the street, you know, and just knowing that something would happen and that you could say that you have no responsibility about that. That's the way that Alpha 66 acted in the past, and another group, Commando F4, that is very well known. Those guys, the leaders of those groups, are on Miami TV at a couple of times every year, speaking about their plans, speaking about that the only way to fight the Cuban government is by violence, etc., and playing the role of freedom fighters. The problem is that those freedom fighters are people who were have an history of links with the dictatorship of Fulgencio Batista, that was thrown out of this country in at the end of the 50s, as you say, with the Cuban Revolution in 1959. And they don't exactly have a story of democratic defense of democracy. They are kind of fascist groups that are very active in Miami. Even the press, Miami press, respect them a lot and never say a word against them. Or it's very, it happened very few times in the past that the Miami press would denounce the actions of those groups. It almost never happened, and this is the way the things are down there.
From the very beginning of the Cuban Revolution, the United States organized terrorist actions against the Cuban Revolutionary Government. The U.S. State Department, CIA, and the American business elite, who used to run the corporations, casinos, and brothels in Cuba, along with the wealthy Cuban families, like Bacardi, who fled Cuba to Miami, and members of Death Squad and agents of state repression of the Batista regime, financed terrorist organizations based in Florida, New York, and New Jersey.
So those five were infiltrated in those groups, and in 1998, chief of the Miami FBI, of the South Florida FBI, Hector Pesquera, who he was the new chief of the Miami FBI. He began in May 1998, and he suddenly decided to arrest the Cubans infiltrated in Miami groups, and that had been detected at that time by the FBI, in great part because of informations that the Cuban government had given to the FBI in a gesture of goodwill, thinking that giving information about the Miami terrorists would help the FBI to see clearly the situation and be able to stop those terrorists from attacking Cuba. Mm-hmm. But just at the opposite, those informations were given at springtime. It was in June, as a matter of fact, 1998. And in September 1998, Pesquera and his people arrest what they call the spy network in Miami. But those people never had spied on any official organization of the United States, haven't tried to get any state secret in the United States. It was given. It was said again and again by a lot of witnesses at their trial. But a trial in Miami against people that you call in the press constantly a Cuban spy, there is no way you can demonstrate to a jury that they aren't guilty.
Almost 4,000 Cubans were killed during 45 years of terrorist campaign organized by all United States administrations since 1959 against Cuba. Many of these actions were very well covered up through the complete silence of the corporate media. However, some of the events were impossible to ignore, such as the explosion of the ship La Cubre in Havana's harbor, which left more than 110 victims, March of 1960. In 1976, a Cubana airline plane exploded close to the Barbados seashore, leaving 73 people dead. Luis Posada Carriles, a CIA agent, was the perpetrator of that terrorist action. Gloria Lariva is a tireless anti-terrorist and anti-war activist based in San Francisco, California. She tells us who the five Cubans are and who Posada Carriles is.
The Cuban Five are the five political prisoners who were in U.S. prison, who had infiltrated the Cuban terrorist organizations from Miami that had been attacking Cuba for over 40 years. And they are now currently awaiting appeal, an appeal decision. Their lawyers filed the appeals 2 years ago against 26 federal charges they were convicted on. And it's been 14 months since the last step of the process, the oral argument. So we hope for a decision any day now. And we're struggling to get them free. The whole country of Cuba is also fighting. The very reason that the Cuban Five were in Miami for the 1990s was that they had infiltrated terrorist organizations that are financed by the CIA, and the intent of the five Cubans was to keep these groups from bombing, assassinating Cuban people. So Luis Posada Carriles is one of the most notorious terrorists, and he was a CIA agent, if not still today, for a number of decades, since the early 1960s. He's responsible, along with Orlando Bosch, who also lives in Miami. Posada is responsible for the bombing of the 1976 flight, Cubana Airlines, in which 73 people died. He also paid several people to plant bombs in Cuban hotels in the late 1990s. He was convicted in Panama 4 years ago for having pounds and pounds of explosives that were intended to assassinate Fidel Castro. And yet, however, despite that crime, the Panamanian right-wing government president, Miguel Moscoso, pardoned him last year, along with three other terrorists. Now he is apparently in Miami as of late March. There is a great struggle to demand his extradition to Venezuela, where he plotted the bombing of the Cuban airline in 1976. The only justice possible for this terrorist is for him to be tried in Venezuela. The Bush administration and the previous Bush administration of Bush Sr. are very, very closely linked to Posada. There's a lot of evidence in which, first of all, when the plane bombing took place, George Bush Sr. was the head of the CIA, and it was the CIA that was responsible for sending Posada and Bush for this killing. A very interesting fact that Cuba has brought up, that the day of the bombing, the two men that were paid by Posada were in Barbados when they had placed the bomb on the plane. And immediately after they landed in Barbados, before the plane took off again to be exploded, they went to the U.S. Embassy three times in one day. And the two phone calls they made were to Posada and Bush in Venezuela to confirm that they had planted the bomb. The Bush administration, it's like Fidel Castro said yesterday on May Day, it's a hot potato for the U.S. government. Because if Posada were tried in Venezuela, as the people are demanding, a lot of information would come out about the responsibility of the U.S. government in financing terrorism. Bush claims to be anti-terrorist, but it's just the opposite.
Meanwhile, the self-proclaimed anti-terrorist George W. Bush and his administration keeps arrested in Texas, the Western Hemisphere's most dangerous terrorist, under a petty immigration law violation, and refuses to honor Venezuela's demands for his extradition. This same U.S. administration ignores the last resolution adopted by the United Nations International Convention on Civil and Political Rights in regards to the trial against the five Cubans, who were truly five anti-terrorist agents and who have been condemned to sentences from 15 years to 2 life terms of incarceration.
Yes, it's a very important comment for the case of the five, and that people, the declaration of the United Nations Human Rights Commission Working Group on Arbitrary Detention, found after a study and investigation and documents presented by U.S. attorneys, that there were three main points in the case of the five. First, they found that the 17-month solitary confinement by the U.S. government of the Cuban five prevented them from having proper preparation in their defense. Secondly, the fact that the trial was held in Miami in an atmosphere that almost everybody recognized was impossible for the men to have a fair trial, an unbiased jury trial. And third, that the families are being denied the right to visit their loved ones, the Cubans, especially two wives who are permanently prohibited from entering the United States. And we believe that's a punishment by the U.S. Now, what is the importance of it is that it gives international credence to the case that's being completely denied by the U.S. as a political prisoner case. The United States State Department responded to the United Nations Declaration and said that it was ridiculous and absurd, but they refused to even consider the legal charges in the declaration. And that's why, by them dismissing it as absurd or ridiculous and that they will not take it into consideration, means that we have to keep pushing further. Now, if the men do not win justice in the U.S. courts, because they're waiting for their decision in the Court of Appeals, if we go through all the U.S. legal process, then we hope to use the United Nations Declaration in international courts, in the world courts.
José Bertierra is a Cuban-born lawyer who has been established in Miami with his family since 1960. He has given many conferences and lectures in Cuba and in the United States about the Cuba-U.S. diplomatic relations throughout the last 40 years. Mr. Bertierra is also an expert on the Helms-Burton Law, which intensified the blockade against Cuba, as well as the immigration law implemented by the United States, better known as the Cuban Adjustment Law. We're going to talk to Mr. Bertierra about the five Cubans incarcerated in the United States.
Well, yes, I mean, what's going on with the Cuban Five case now is it's on appeal to the 11th Circuit, which is a court of appeals in the United States, and they're reviewing the decision of the trial judges that it is the position, I think, of the, you know, and I'm not representing the Cuban Five, but it's the position of the lawyers who are representing the Cuban Five that the court made several errors in the case, not the least of which is failing to change venue of the case away from Miami. The case was tried in a circus-like atmosphere in Miami, and I think the consensus among people who followed the case closely in Miami was that there wasn't an impartial jury in the case. That it's by definition, any jury that that's selected in Miami is contaminated. And as a matter of fact, there's been other cases involving Cuba where the government has moved to change venue of the case away from Miami because of the prejudicial nature of the jury pool down there. But there were many other errors made in the case, and there's a great deal of confidence on the part of the defense team that the Court of Appeals may be able to reverse at least some of the findings of the trial court. We'll see what happens. It's been pending for a long time. Oral argument was heard before the Court of Appeals more than a year ago, and there still hasn't been a decision.
The Cuban Five are the product of a society that lives in accordance with their beliefs. The political prisoners have sacrificed their freedom to protect their society from senseless acts of aggression that have been directed against Cuba for the last 45 years.
Well, the fact that it's taking the Court of Appeals as long as it is to make a decision on the Cuban Five is, I think, a good sign, because it shows that the court is taking seriously the case before it. Had they made a decision right away, it probably would have been a negative decision, because it's a very, very complicated case. And just reading the transcript alone takes a long, long time. But there are many complex legal issues involved, and I think this is a good sign that it's taking as long as it has. On the political front, there's a couple of things going on that I think are helpful to the Cuban Five, not the least of which is the case of Luis Posada Carriles, mm-hmm. because as media attention has focused on Posada, mm-hmm. we, I think, come to understand a little bit better the reason why the Cuban Five came to the United States in the first place. In the case of Posada, you have a confessed terrorist mm-hmm. who in 1998 confessed to the New York Times that he masterminded a campaign of terror mm-hmm. against the tourist industry in Cuba, against hotels and restaurants, by paying Central Americans to pose as tourists and go to Cuba and set bombs off in several of the leading hotels and restaurants on the island. One of the bombs that exploded killed an Italian tourist by the name of Fabio Di Selmo. As Cuba was suffering under this campaign of terror, they reached out to the United States for help, because Cuba knew that these activities were being financed and orchestrated abroad, particularly in Miami and in Central America, where Posada Carriles was hiding at the time. The FBI did nothing, and Cuba took it upon itself to send people from the island to Miami to penetrate some of these extremist organizations. These five men did penetrate the organizations and reported to Cuba that indeed the campaign of terror was being financed in Miami, that Luis Posada Carriles was masterminding it. Cuba turned that information over to the White House, and eventually it came to the FBI's hands. And the FBI, rather than arresting and prosecuting the terrorists, they went out and looked for the source of the information that Cuba had provided, and discovered that there were five Cuban agents in the United States who had not been spying on the United States, but who had penetrated the Cuban-American terrorist organizations and provided Cuba with this information. So the FBI arrested the Cuban five, prosecuted them in a circus-like atmosphere in Miami, and got outrageous convictions against them. And in the case of Luis Posada Carriles, who was the mastermind of the campaign of terror, what the United States has done is detain him in a very comfortable cell in El Paso, Texas, where he can watch television and air-conditioned splendor and receive visitors in the press, and charge him as an undocumented worker or an undocumented alien, and not even charge him with terrorism, and has so far failed to present the extradition request of Venezuela to a federal court. While the Cuban Five, after being convicted, have been held at various points in isolation cells called the Hole, and generally mistreated during their time in prison.
If you wish to learn more about the Cuban Five and their struggle for justice, you can visit www.freethefive.org. If you want to know more about Cuba, tune in to Con Cuba en el Corazón every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. on CFRU 93.3 FM. This program was produced by CFRU and Alternativa Latinoamericana with Sergio Pochon, Chris Kiefer, Erasmo Magaulas, and Madeline Speed.